Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here is a look at tonight's stories.
Tonight, the U.S. and NATO escalate tensions with heavy weapons on the Russian border while our borders are left open and 3,700 illegal immigrant Threat One criminals are released into the U.S. by Homeland Security. And what about the close KKK ties of the Democrat Party and the FBI? All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, there is presently a controversial debate raging over the Confederate flag and offensive words. Highly volatile debate. It's been going on for decades. And that's why, in fact, Alex Jones didn't even want us to focus on these two topics because he knows that it's just meant to cause division between the races. And that's exactly what's happening. Just last night on CNN, a guest was there to say that the efforts to remove the Confederate flag are cultural genocide. So obviously this is going to spark a heated debate. Meanwhile, African Americans and a lot of other people say that that flag is actually a symbol of slavery and all of the suffering that was endured there. So it's a highly volatile, controversial debate, been raging for decades, and that's exactly why it's taking place, because they know this is going to capture the attention of the nation. Everyone is going to be fighting amongst ourselves rather than going against the state, and that's what this whole conquer and divide is always about again and again. So what's going on behind the scenes? What are they trying to cover up? Well, obviously, one of the big things Hillary Clinton is not talking about as she's set to go to Ferguson, Missouri. She's putting the issue of race at the forefront of her campaign right now because she's seizing on this big debate because she knows it's captured the nation. But Hillary Clinton is not going to talk about the 92 Clinton-Gore campaign buttons that have surfaced showing the Confederate flag. They have Clinton-Gore there and the Confederate flag. There's also some other buttons there where they show the two of them in Confederate uniforms. So she's not talking about that. Neither is her team responding to questions about the act that her husband signed when he was governor of Arkansas in 1987. It was an act honoring the Confederate flag. So she's completely silent about that and once again is just proving to be a major hypocrite. But Kit Daniels takes it a step farther. He says, you know, if we're going to go ahead and ban the Confederate flag, why not ban the Democratic Party for their ties to racism? We've reported this before. Many people don't know the Ku Klux Klan was created by Democrats. The Ku Klux Klan was created as a terroristic force serving the interests of the Democratic Party and those who desired the restoration of so-called white supremacy. Noted historian Eric Foner writes in his book, Reconstruction, America's Unfinished Revolution, that the Ku Klux Klan was founded in 1866 as a Tennessee social club. It quickly spread into nearly every southern state, and it launched a reign of terror against Republican leaders, black and white. So obviously, you know, that's a little bit of history, and if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it, and you're doomed to be duped by the people out there who want to use all of this controversy as a political weapon. Now, Kurt Nimmo goes on to report about the FBI's history in infiltrating and driving these racist movements in America. I touched on this a little bit on Friday, talked about, you know, the many useful idiots in the race war and how the FBI, you know, today we can report about them infiltrating mosques looking for their next jihadists. Well, they're doing the same thing in these white supremacist circles, looking for their next hooded jihadi to go out. All different sides of the race war, they all need their useful idiots. So when you're in your little racist chat rooms, you might be talking to an FBI agent. Nimmo reports on the White Citizens Council, the Ku Klux Klan, and COINTELPRO. Now, in the book COINTELPRO, The Untold American Story, Paul Wolf documents the role that the FBI played in the Klan. He notes that according to the Church Committee, more than one quarter of all active Klan members in the 60s were FBI agents or informants. And they weren't neutral observers or objective investigators. They were active participants in beatings, bombings, and murders that claimed the lives of some 50 civil rights activists by 1964. And goes on to explain how the Council of Conservative Citizens, which is, of course, in the news right now, because Dylann Roof was a fan of some of the writings there. But the Council of Conservative Citizens has also donated money to several Republican presidential candidates' campaigns. So a lot of heat there with this Council of Conservative Citizens. That was formed out of the White Citizens Council and the Klan. They have all worked in concert with the FBI and COINTELPRO. Probably initially in the 60s, they were working to neutralize any political social advancement in the black community. But it seems today the agents have a new agenda in mind, which is, of course, fostering racial tension and ultimately a race war in the United States. And that's what we're seeing fester up all around us. It's coming from many different angles. And so what else is really going on while the media is got us fighting amongst ourselves with all of these, this racial debate? I mean, guaranteed every time an election comes around, you're going to be talking about racism and abortion and gay marriage, because those are the things that continually divide people and get people fighting amongst themselves so that they don't focus on the real issues. One of the big things that we've been reporting about here constantly is that the Senate and the House, Congress, is about to give Obama authority to fast-track the trade bills that he has been trying to ram through. Him and the next president are going to be passing these trade bills and these treaties, and if that happens, it's RIP USA. So that's something huge that they're trying to divert us from paying attention to. But something else that's really huge, the U.S. will permanently position heavy weapons on the Russian border. Now, this was announced on Monday. Obama's defense boss, Ashton Carter, said that the U.S. will contribute weapons, aircraft, and forces, including commandos, for NATO's Rapid Reaction Force. And he hinted that commandos would be used against separatists in eastern Ukraine. Now, this move is unprecedented. It's the first time since the Cold War that the U.S. has positioned heavy military equipment in eastern Europe. Less than half of European citizens support this military activity against Russia. It's right there in their backyard. And of course, you know, Putin has already said that he is going to retaliate if the U.S. positions itself around the borders there of Russia. And also, as the U.S. is focusing on all of this domestic strife, ISIS is now ramping up. They're taking a play straight out of the Saw franchise, releasing three more gruesome videos. They're high quality because they want to scare everyone who might have forgotten that ISIS was out there, our biggest threat. You know, anyone had forgotten that we are so scared we need to give up more of our rights. They release these videos. One segment shows a group of men with explosives wound around their necks. They're then detonated. This is, you know, in order to decapitate them. In another segment, four men are seen locked in a car. The car is subsequently blown up by a militant who uses a rocket-propelled grenade. And then in a third segment, it shows five more men locked in a cage and lowered into a swimming pool. And the ISIS militants had fitted this cage with underwater cameras and also cameras in the pool so that they could record the men drowning underwater. So this is just absolute savagery, despicable, and it's our biggest threat. No, it's not the environment and climate change, Obama. According to the House Intel Committee, the U.S. is at the highest threat level that we've ever faced in this country. And that's saying a lot because they haven't said that since 9/11. Now, this threat is coming from the radicalization of young people and foreign fighters that are heading into Iraq and Syria to join these terror groups. Devin Nunes, who's the House Intel Committee chair, points out that several Americans have already been arrested and charged with being ISIS sympathizers, trying to join this terror group. And Nunes stated that we are having a tough time tracking terrorist cells within the United States. Huh. So this is our biggest threat, the biggest threat level facing America for quite some time. He actually said it's the biggest threat we have ever faced as a country, ever faced. But the president, he's already come out and admitted that this administration has absolutely no plan for dealing with ISIS. But I believe he played four or five rounds of golf this weekend. So, you know, very, very important, upping his golf game while ISIS and their sympathizers are, you know, ramping up their efforts to terrorize the globe. And, you know, people are fighting about flags and words. And you also may have heard about this manhunt that's been going on. It's been the 24-hour news cycle all around the clock. They know that this is absolutely captivating the nation, talking about these two men who escaped from this prison, really glamorizing it, you know, the Shawshank redemption there. Both of these men were in prison serving time for murder. But so what's the big deal? I mean, they're serving time for murder. Is it only a bad thing when murderers escape from prison? I mean, what about the 3,700 threat level one criminals that were released by the Department of Homeland Security? Are we not supposed to worry about those people who have been just released out onto the streets here in America? In 2013, Department of Homeland Security released 36,000 convicted criminals. Those released had amassed 116 homicide convictions. Goes on, they've got drunken driving convictions. ICE labeled some nearly 9,000 convictions with dangerous drugs involvement there. That total dropped to 30,000 in 2014, but there was 193 homicide convictions among those detainees, drunken driving, sexual assault, kidnapping convictions. So these people are just being released by ICE. And of the people since 2010, between 2010 and 2014, of those criminal illegal aliens that were released, now 121 of those people have been charged with murder. So we're releasing people that have prior convictions, and we're releasing people who then go on to commit murder. Now, most of the illegal immigrant criminals that Homeland Security officials released were discretionary. That means the department could have kept them in detention, but they chose instead to let them onto the streets as their deportation cases were moving through the system. So these are the real problems that are going on in this country while we are being diverted to pay attention to other things there in the media with all of this race baiting. But they did manage to catch one border crosser, James O'Keefe. That's right. You remember him. He's a conservative filmmaker. Well, he was detained by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents on Monday while he was returning through an airport to U.S. soil. And why? Because he once filmed a video in which he crossed the U.S.-Mexico border without going through customs. And customs agents told him that he will be detained every single time he enters the country from overseas henceforth. And you'll recall we played that video here on the InfoWars Nightly News. He did it in August. He was dressed like Osama bin Laden, and he was making a point about how easy it would be for Islamic radicals to just pour onto the domestic soil, cross the border. No one would be stopping them. So he embarrassed them and showed how easy it was to penetrate the border. And so now they're still not protecting the border. In fact, they're releasing criminals, but they're going to check him every single time and harass him and give him a hard time. You know, meanwhile, violent criminals are crossing the border every single day. Biggs just got back from a vacation and, you know, they didn't stop Joe Biggs. So we've seen some of his videos there exposing how easy it would be for ISIS and other criminals to cross the border. Now coming up, I'm going to be speaking with a military veteran about her quest for truth. But first, John Bowne calls out Hillary Clinton on her hypocrisy.
I want to talk about a perfect storm today. And the perfect storm I'm going to discuss is a really good perfect storm. I have prayed, literally, to be able to find a high-quality gun sponsor that is affordable and that is extremely well-made and effective that I can promote to my audience. About 6 months ago, we get contacted by Head Down Firearms, HDFirearms.com. Low cost compared to competitors. Super high quality, super lightweight, super accurate, and the experts salivate over it and love it. Their entire line of 5.56, 308, and their accessories are simply amazing, and it's designed by battle-hardened vets that know what they wish they would have had. You need to go to HDFirearms.com today, or you can visit HeadDownProducts.com. That's HeadDownProducts.com. About a year and a half ago, Anthony Gucciardi just said, man, I just did a Dr. Gribbs liver cleanse, the one he recommends, and he's developing this proprietary stuff he's testing on himself right now. You really ought to do it. The results are dramatic after 6 days. And I'm like, no way I'm doing it. I don't believe that there's giant black or green balls in my gallbladder. And this is how ignorant I am. And he's like, look at it online. I'm not looking at it online. Stuff like that grosses me out. I don't want to go there. Well, finally, about 6 months ago, they convinced me to do it.
I personally think everybody should go through a liver cleansing if you haven't done one. Results speak for themselves. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have done this, and it dates back even 1,000 years, drinking oils to cleanse and purge the liver. Actually, the Greeks and the over in India with Ayurvedic medicine have done it the same way. But how it works is what you should do, and this is what our proprietary research led us to do back starting in the early 90s when we were looking at the best ways to cleanse the liver, was to develop an herbal formula that contains herbs that will help soften or break down these globules or these stones in the liver and the gallbladder.
This Liver Shield is the high-quality proprietary liver trex developed by Dr. Gribbs that we've private labeled through him, and it's extremely strong, extremely concentrated, extremely high-powered. You combine that with the Oxy Powder, oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, dietary supplement, clinically tested. We have them discounted at the lowest price you're going to find anywhere. InfoWarsLife.com. Obviously, folks should probably talk to their healthcare provider before they do this. This is one of the single biggest results, if not the biggest, I've ever seen in my life, literally in a six-day period. This is something anybody can do. Obviously, the literature is well-known on what liver cleanses do. This is the best one out there from our research. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139.
Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Hillary Clinton.
Speaking at the 83rd annual U.S. Conference of Mayors Saturday, the former Secretary of State said she supported President Obama's calls to further infringe on the Second Amendment if it means it will help the victims of gun violence.
For me and many others, one immediate response was to ask how it could be possible that we as a nation still allow guns to fall into the hands of people whose hearts are filled with hate. You can't watch massacre after massacre and not come to the conclusion that, as President Obama said, we must tackle this challenge with urgency and conviction. Now, I lived in Arkansas and I represented upstate New York. I know that gun ownership is part of the fabric of a lot of law-abiding communities, but I also know that we can have common sense gun reforms that keep weapons out of the hands of criminals and the violently unstable while respecting responsible gun owners. What I hope with all of my heart is that we work together to make this debate less polarized, less inflamed by ideology, more informed by evidence, so we can sit down across the table, across the aisle from one another, and find ways to keep our communities safe while protecting constitutional rights. It makes no sense that bipartisan legislation to require universal background checks would fail in Congress despite overwhelming public support. It makes no sense that we couldn't come together to keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers or people suffering from mental illnesses, even people on the terrorist watch list. That doesn't make sense, and it is a rebuke to this nation we love and care about. The president is right. The politics on this issue have been poisoned. But we can't give up. The stakes are too high, the costs are too dear, and I am not and will not be afraid to keep fighting for common sense reforms and, along with you, achieve those on behalf of all who have been lost because of this senseless gun violence in our country.
In the immediate aftermath of the shooting, President Obama and Charleston Mayor Joseph P. Riley Jr. both rushed to issue statements demonizing the Second Amendment over the shooter's actions.
But let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency.
Meanwhile, black Americans took to Twitter and rallied around firearms, the Second Amendment, and the God-given right to self-defense, declaring a call to arms in rejection of the white supremacist ideology. Candidate Clinton first made her anti-gun stance clear in April, asserting, "We cannot let a minority of people," and that's what it is a minority of people, hold a viewpoint that terrorizes the majority of the people. And now from the first comment for this article, from John Smith. "Hey, Killery, you want common sense gun reform? How about not sending guns to ISIS? How about not sending guns to Mexican drug dealers? How about stopping senseless wars? Now that's gun reform I can live with." John Bound for InfoWars.com.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Well, there's a saying that if you are not outraged, then you're not paying attention. And now what I'm about to talk with you about today, you might find a little bit upsetting, but that's kind of the point. Hopefully enough people will finally be outraged by rape in the military that we can actually affect some change. So today I'm going to be discussing the institutionalized protocol of cover-up of sexual assault in the military, as well as the mistreatment of those people who actually come forward and speak out about this. So let's look at some pretty shocking statistics. Sexual assault is alarmingly common in the U.S. military. 1 in 3 women in the U.S. military report being raped or sexually assaulted by their colleagues. An estimated 26,000 rapes and sexual assault took place in the military in 2012. 2012 is the last year that those statistics are available. And with that, with those 26,000 people that reported that, only 1 in 7 people actually reported their assaults, and just 1 in 10 of those went to trial. A 2004 study of women veterans from Vietnam and all wars since, they were seeking help for post-traumatic stress disorder. They found that 71% of those women said that they were sexually assaulted or raped while serving. And it's not just happening to women. According to the Pentagon, 38 military men are sexually assaulted every single day in the military. But you don't hear about that because, you know, it often goes unreported because men who report being raped by other men in the military could actually be discharged for engaging in homosexual behavior. So this is a problem. It's victims are blamed for reporting the crimes. They're shunned by their colleagues, if not outright stalked and mistreated. They're challenged professionally, and then they sometimes are depicted as having a mental health issue, and then they're discharged. So this is absolutely abhorrent. You know, the people who are actually committing these assaults, they get off scot-free a lot of the time because sexual assault in the military is treated as a breach of conduct, not a criminal offense. So that's a problem. It's time to protect our soldiers, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, my guest today knows, you know, unfortunately knows all too well about assault in the military, but Linda Nord, she dealt with much more than the psychologically damaging effects of military sexual assault. In order to qualify for these benefits, she had to retroactively prove that not only was she sexually assaulted, but a child that resulted from one of those rapes was actually forcibly removed and put up for adoption by the military. All of that went unreported. And Linda Nord shares her story with us today to let others know that they are not alone. Now, Linda, thank you for joining us. So, I mean, really, your story begins about 34 years ago. Let's just start at the beginning.
I joined the military right out of high school, 18 years old. I got to my first duty station about November of 1979, was Fort Ord, California. I had been there probably a month and a half. The barracks were segregated at the time. I was down on the bottom floor of the barracks next to an exit door. One night in late December, someone broke in, and then my room was the room next to the door, and they broke into my room, and I was raped. I reported the rape that night. However, the CQ office told me to wait and wait, and I waited for several hours in the office, and nothing happened. And they told me to go back to my formation, which was morning PT. About a month and a half later, I went to my first sergeant and CO and reported that I had become pregnant from the rape. And they told me in no uncertain terms that I had better not be pregnant because I could get an Article 15 and be put in Leavenworth for destruction of government property.
And so you were that government property, I guess.
Yes, I was the government property. They told me not to say a word. So I went back to doing what I did. I ran PT. I did everything until 8.5 months pregnant, and I couldn't do it anymore. I went back to them. I told them I can't do this anymore. At the time, I was in a medical unit, so you cannot tell me they did not know I was 8.5 months pregnant.
Right.
I wasn't allowed to go to a physician. I wasn't allowed to do anything. When I went back there 2 weeks before I delivered, they took me off post to an attorney's office and told me I was to sign over my paternal rights or they would put me in Leavenworth. And if I went to Leavenworth, I was going to lose that child anyway. So at 19, scared to death, I had no choices. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone what was going on. I had no recourse. Now, today, they're trying to pass legislation to offer a third party to report because the chain of command seems to be the issue. And in my issue, it was a chain of command. It was my first sergeant and my CO who told me that they would put me in Leavenworth.
Wow.
So 34 years later, in 2010, I went to the VA because my husband lost his job for medical. I needed medical at the time. So I went to the VA. When I was there, they handed me a pamphlet telling me that if I had ever been, or asking me if I had ever been sexually assaulted in the military, I was blown away. I said, "You mean to tell me I have rights?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, you have rights. So I said, yes, I had been, and I told them the story. They immediately got me in touch in Iowa City with some counseling. That counselor has since left the area. I went for about 6 months in 2014, unable to see a counselor because they are so inundated that they don't have enough people to cover soldiers with PTSD. I have what is called PTSD due to MST, which is military sexual trauma. The VA, there's many facets to the VA. The VA has denied my claim and said that I don't have it because I don't have any of the markers. When I was in the unit from 79 to 81, I received an ARCOM. I had heard rumor that I had an affair. That's how I became pregnant. I heard rumor that I slept around, and that's how I became pregnant. If those were the issues and that's how I become pregnant, I would have never received an ARCOM.
Okay, so let's back it up just a little bit, because it's quite a long story here. And obviously, you know, this was 34 years ago. We're just talking about even today, people are still hesitant to come forward because of the repercussions that they face. And then, of course, you know, it's much, you know, worse 34 years ago. But so you went for some counseling for, you know, disability compensation. Then that is where they finally started to educate you on these rights that you have to get some counseling because you had never gone for any counseling for any sort of PTSD, anything like that. And then in July, your application was denied. And we actually have those documents that you sent. They say you reported that you were sexually assaulted twice during service. You reported the first assault was swept under the rug and also resulted in a pregnancy. You reported that the second assault was reported and resulted in a conviction of the offender, which that was, we haven't mentioned that one yet. But you also reported continued harassment after the second incident to include denial of reenlistment. Your service treatment records do not show complaints, treatment, counseling, or a diagnosis of a mental health condition or a pregnancy in 1979. So this was a VA report after you went there, you know, 30-something years later, and they denied your application for these disability benefits, basically saying, well, we looked in your records and it just doesn't look like anybody ever documented this, and so we don't believe you. And that's what you're saying there with that chain of command that blocked you from saying anything or reporting anything about that. And it was only because there was a second assault that resulted in a conviction of someone who I guess had multiple assaults on his record. That wasn't even documented in your case is just really shocking. So talk to me a little bit about what you had to do next after the VA denies this application and says, well, we looked all through your records and there was nothing there.
No, there is nothing in there, not anything from the first rape or the second rape. And the second rape did go to JAG. What I was told from JAG is they redact the victims' names so that the perpetrator cannot find their name if they are released from prison. So it makes it virtually impossible to prove that you were sexually assaulted. The first rape, I had to dig. I had to literally convince a Superior Court judge in Monterey, California, which is 2,500 miles from where I'm at, that I am telling the truth so that he could unseal the adoption records. And I was able to prove that I had a child on base, Fort Ord, California, in 1980.
Wow.
And we even went to the National Archives, and I petitioned for information from the hospital, and the hospital, Solace B. Hayes Hospital, Fort Ord, California, has no record of a child being born to myself at the time, Linda Perez, in 1980. So there's no record at the hospital. There's no medical record in my records. Where did the records go? Right. Why? How did a child be, you know, how did a child be delivered in a military hospital and no record of it?
Right. And an adoption proceeding to take Kate, to happen with no documentation that there was an adoption that took place there through the military. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, some sort of a systemic cover-up protocol here to even go with there with the hospitals. And
this isn't a, this is real. This happened, really happened. It's not a conspiracy theory. This happened. I have documentation that this actually happened.
Right.
And it's hard. It has taken me 4 years to get this far. And the VA tells me that it takes 3 years to have an appeal looked at. So I started this process in 2010, and it is now 2015, and still nothing.
And it was only because you remembered a name, remembered hearing a name when you went to that meeting where they forced you to sign over your parental rights, that you just remembered a name, and it was through that process that you were able to do your own investigation to find your baby girl. And so did you ever, you made contact?
Yes, we made contact. We've had a couple of meetings. He went out and stayed at her home for a couple of weeks earlier this year while she had some surgery done so I could take care of the kids. It's a slow going. There's a lot of hurt.
Right.
I have a lot of hurt. These people played God in my life, and I'm the one paying the price.
Right. And well, not only that, but obviously with whenever there is sexual assault involved, there's a lot of shame that people try to put on the victim. And then you're here now coming forward 30 something years later, and they're saying, oh, you had an affair, or you were, you know, sleeping around, and that's why this happened. And again, like you say, your military records show that you performed well, and you, you know, like you said, if you had an affair or something, you would have been discharged dishonorably.
Yes, I would have, especially back in 1979. They didn't want women back then. You have to remember, the people that were in charge at that time, that were like my CO and my first sergeant, those people had come out of Vietnam. And I hate to use the cliche, the old boys network, but back then it was the old boys network.
Right. And that's still something that we're dealing with a little bit today. Now, I know that Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Barbara Boxer were trying to introduce the Military Justice Improvement Act. It was going to be designed to change the way that the military prosecutes sexual violence crimes, taking military rape cases outside of the chain of command, on restricting commanding officers' power to set aside or overturn any convictions for sexual violence. So, I mean, that goes right in hand there with the old boys club, is that everyone kind of covers up and protects each other while the victims of these sexual assaults are really ostracized, basically make you to where you just want out, and then you're left to suffer with PTSD. We have 20-something veterans committing suicide every single day. It's crazy. Well, so why are you coming forward now? Why do you want to speak out? What do you hope other people can gain from just hearing your story?
Breaking my silence, the reason I want to break my silence is because we do have 20 veterans or women that are in the military committing suicide. I had read something about the Pentagon putting out that they're committing suicide because women that join the military are prone to suicide. That's ludicrous. What really is happening is women are being assaulted and no one's doing anything about it. And the chain of command is the issue.
Right.
They need to remove it. They're trying to protect their career after 20, you know, they want their 20 years. I know that's why mine was done. you know, why they didn't, you know, do anything for me. They were protecting their career. I want other women to know that they have rights and they have help. They can go to the VA for help. They can contact me for help if they need to. I have numbers. I have made mistakes in my filing, so I know how to do just about the whole process because I've been through it. If I can save one woman or one man, even one man, it would all be worth it.
Absolutely. Well, that's very honorable. Thank you so much for telling your story, because it really, I mean, it's just one person, 20-something military veterans a day committing suicide. That number that's absolutely ludicrous, and something needs to change. It's time to start supporting the military.
One of my therapists told me that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that a child has been taken.
Wow. Yeah. And that doesn't even surprise me, because of just the way that your case was handled and how the hospital could cover it up and no records anywhere. It's not like that was a one-off, especially with, you know, 26,000 rapes and sexual assaults taking place in 2012 alone. And that's only, you know, with
the ones that were being reported.
Exactly. One out of seven victims even reporting their attack. So absolutely insane numbers there. And it's time to shine a light on what's going on. And there is a cover up. Well, we'll put your information up for people to get in touch with you, Linda. And again, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Really, I do. If we can save one woman or one man, that would be awesome.
Now we're going to put up some resources for assistance. Those are all the numbers that you need to get you started. You can also get in contact with Linda. There's her email as well. There are a lot of resources out there. You are not alone, and you do not need to be ashamed for being the victim of military sexual trauma. That's it for the show tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. And then you can also become a subscriber to PrisonPlanet.tv. Your subscription, of course, supports this operation, but you can also share your username and password with up to 20 people at the same time. So that's 20 people getting instant access to everything they need to help fight the info war. And of course, we always appreciate your support. We'll see you here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central.
Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fuse it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigyrex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.